Our parable for today is Matthew 13, verses 24 through 43, the weeds. Jesus told another story. God's kingdom is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. That night, while his hired men were asleep, his enemy sowed weeds all through the wheat and slipped away before dawn. When the first green shoots appeared and the grain began to form, the weeds showed up too. The farmhands came to the farmer and said, "Master, that was clean seed you planted, wasn't it? Where did these weeds come from?" He answered, "Some enemy did this." The farmhands asked, "Should we remove the weeds?" He said, "No, if you take out the weeds, you'll pull up the wheat too. Let them grow together until harvest time. Then I'll instruct the harvesters to pull up the weeds and tie them in bundles for the fire. Then gather the wheat and put it in the barn."
Let's pray. God, as we open the Word of God, your inspired words that you've given to us because you love us, we ask that you'd use this time . Some of you that are joining us online or here in the room don't believe in God, and we're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. We would invite you to just say, "God, if you're real, speak to me today." And for those of you who know God, maybe even approaching God right now in prayer is awkward for you because you've sinned and you know that. You've done something you're not proud of. Just confess to Him if you need to do that. You're upset with Him about something that's happened, just be honest with God right now to open up communication. And ask God again to speak into your life. And I need help. I'm just a man, and I need the help of the Holy Spirit. So would you pray that the Holy Spirit would help me today to preach the Bible? That what I share would be helpful. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to grab it. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. If you don't own a Bible, there's a black one in the pew there in front of you. Consider that a gift to you today. You can also look on an electronic device. Those of you online, find a copy of God's Word. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. You heard Rob talking about this already, but this last week was exciting for us with Mission McKinney. He mentioned this young girl who was running around on Thursday night with our celebration. This is Elena. And Elena came up and showed me her picture there. "Will you baptize me?" That was one of her leaders, London, who's one of the interns in our ministry this summer. Yeah, on the shirt, y'all may know if you're part of our church family that we give people a baptism shirt where they write on the shirt a word, and it says the word freedom on the shirt that she drew on the freedom. London was telling me she wrote the word freedom because she said, "God's brought freedom from my sin." Pretty cool. Why did we do Mission McKinney in backyards? Why did we do Mission McKinney in backyards? Why didn't we just stay in the church, right? Right? We're the church, right? We should serve people in the church. Why did we go to backyards? I share with permission a message that was sent to Sharla, who just read over us from one of our leaders, a neighbor that I've been praying for years. Was at Mission McKinney this week. The husband isn't into church, and mom grew up Catholic and is struggling on where she stands. They've been visiting churches, And their son very confidently was able to make a decision today. This was Wednesday when we shared the good news of Jesus. So I called mom. She's right down the street. And she said she was about to pass by the house. So I asked if she would want to stop by really quick. And I walked out in the driveway where the boy very boldly told his mom all about what he learned today and his decision. God is good. This young man is taking Christ into his home. That's cool. Now, as I say that, you know that there's a large part of our culture that would be offended by that. Y'all may have heard the term cancel culture. Cancel culture. Here's a definition of cancel culture. Cancel culture is to block someone or remove someone from your social circles because you disagree with them. And this is happening a whole lot in our world. Cancel culture is going on all the time when people find out that someone believes or thinks differently than them, they turn them off and they push them away. They literally pull them out of their lives. And unfortunately, many Christians are doing that with their neighbors. Many Christians are pushing away everyone who believes differently. Does Jesus have anything to say about that? Does Jesus have anything he would want to speak into his followers about cancel culture? Well, Matthew chapter 13 starts with this parable about a sower sowing seed. And the sower sowed seed. Some falls on rocky ground and on paths. The path is eaten by the birds, which he tells his disciples are really is Satan coming to steal the good news of Jesus from people's lives. And some falls on rocky ground where it doesn't take root and go deep. And then some falls on ground where there are weeds. And the weeds grow up with the good seed. The wheat and the weeds end up over time choking out the wheat. That's what he says in his parable. There's some that's on good soil that doesn't happen to, and it bears fruit 30, 60, 100, 100 fold. But some was in the soil with weeds. So you'd think, hey, what Jesus is going to say is cancel the weeds. Pull out the weeds, right? It's interesting how Jesus follows that parable. He put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a... Now, real quick, again, if you missed last week, we're going to just introduce parables to you again. What is a parable? A parable is a narrative analogy that teaches a kingdom reality. Read that with me. A narrative analogy that teaches a kingdom reality. He just said the kingdom of heaven may be compared. Why is Jesus doing this? We've been walking through the book of Matthew, and up until this point, Jesus teaches pretty straightforward. But in chapter 12 of Matthew, the Pharisees start conspiring together to destroy Jesus. They are going to cancel him from their culture. They're conspiring together to destroy Jesus, and Jesus starts to teach differently. He's even going to tell us here in a few minutes that this is to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. So why did he teach in parables? Well, partly to reveal the hidden truth to some people. Since the foundation of the world, through the parables, he's going to reveal to the followers of Christ truth that has never been seen before. But also, you can look back in chapter 13 later if you want to do it, and you can see in verses 10 through 17, he's being clear that he's concealing that truth from others. Those who are going to cancel him, he starts teaching differently so that he can continue to share truth with his followers. Jesus said over and over again after this point, my time has not yet come. He knew at one point he would be ultimately canceled from culture. He knew that was coming, but it was not yet time. So he starts teaching in parables. The kingdom of heaven, he says, may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. So he's continuing on with this motif of sower and a seed. Like last week we talked about, like, he's teaching in the Sea of Galilee and there are fields all around him. He's probably looking at a sower right now. And he's using his narrative analogy to teach them a kingdom reality by talking about the sower. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and he sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So the owner sows good seed in the field. There's an enemy that comes and sows bad seed in a field. Almost for sure, because as we listen to his story, as these seeds grow up, they don't initially notice they're different until they start to mature. He's probably talking about these two types of plants. This is a common weed in the Sea of Galilee area. It's called a darnel. The darnels, as they grow up, look a whole lot like the wheat. But the darnels have these little seeds that are actually poisonous in their stalks, and as they grow up among the wheat, you've got to get rid of them. So surely the owner would say, hey, go and cancel the weeds from the field. Pull them out. Block them. Get rid of them. Surely that's what he would say, right? Well, you just heard Sharla read the story over us. That's not what the owner says. The owner says, no, I don't want you to go and pull the weeds out from the wheat, lest if you pull the weeds, you're going to root up the wheat with them, he says. Don't pull the weeds out, because if you pull the weeds out, their roots are intertwined with the wheat, and you're gonna yank up the wheat with the weeds. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus, what are you teaching? This week, I often, when I don't know really how to teach a passage, right, I'm seeking from wiser men who've walked with Jesus much longer than me, from women who've studied the Word of God and know truth and have written comments. I've studied truth and I seek, but I couldn't find any commentary that would be very clear with me what Jesus is saying. And very few sermons on this passage. Interestingly, it's one of the few parables that Jesus, we'll see in a second, explains to his disciples, but it's very rarely preached. What is Jesus saying? I want to point out that there is an imperative in the parable. This is an imperative, it's a command. He says, let both grow together until the harvest. So, if you're taking notes and want to do this with us, I want you to see what he says. He says, allow the weeds to grow with the wheat. Why? Doesn't the wheat grow up in the weeds? And didn't you just teach us, Jesus, that the weeds could choke out the wheat? Allow the weeds to grow with the wheat. Why, Jesus? Interestingly, before he explains this parable to his disciples, he's going to throw in two other really small parables. And I don't think this is coincidental. I don't think it's accidental. I think Jesus was the master storyteller. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Here's what Jesus says. He put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a narrative analogy that's teaching us a kingdom reality is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. For the Jew, they would hear when they heard mustard seed that was parabolic for tiny. I'll show you in a second. The smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Now, I'm going to show you a picture. That's a mustard seed. The mustard seed is literally the smallest agricultural seed in all of the Palestine area. It'd be the smallest seed that they would ever try to plant. And it grows into one of the largest, some would argue the largest garden plant, some 8 to 12 foot tall. That little bitty seed starts like that and grows really, really big. And Jesus says the kingdom is like that. For the listener, this would have been shocking. Why? Because they were expecting the king to come, the Messiah, the king to come and to conquer Rome and to establish his rule and authority over all. The coming king would show up big time, not tiny. And Jesus is going to shock the listener and say, no, it's going to go the other way around. It's going to start really, really small. I'm going to train, he doesn't say this directly, but he does, train some 12 followers, one's a dud, and they're going to go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus says, no, the kingdom is not going to show up big, it's going to show up really small, and it's going to grow really big. Keep going. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. You know what leaven is? Anybody? Yeast. Yes, it's like yeast. What is yeast? Yeast is something you put in bread, dough, flour. And there's a lot of different ways they actually can make leaven or yeast, but it causes a chemical reaction in the dough. And you only have to put a little bit in, and then all of a sudden the dough starts bubbling, and it really starts transforming. If anyone ever made homemade bread, you've seen this happen, right? A lot of hands here in the room. It says the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like this little yeast that you put small inside the dough, and then all of a sudden it transforms all the dough around it. It rises. Let the glory of the Lord rise. It changes. It says the kingdom is like that. The kingdom is, why would he tell that story right after the weeds and the wheat? All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. Now, this does not mean he never said anything that wasn't parabolic. It means that all the time from now on when he was teaching, he would use stories to advance his message. He was the master storyteller. By the way, as you study rabbis at the time of Christ, before Jesus and after Jesus, Jesus changed the way that rabbis taught. They would use parables at times, but after Jesus, you can read it in the Jewish literature, rabbis just took off in their storytelling. He was the master storyteller, and he changed the way the rabbis taught. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. This is Psalm 78 now. The prophet he's referring to here is Asaph. Asaph wrote these words, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Wow. Matthew's telling us that what Jesus is doing right now is revealing to the world things that have never been seen before. Wow. And you and I get to read about it. We get to invite the Holy Spirit to teach us what he was teaching them. Then he, Jesus, left the crowds and went into the house. We think this is a house in Capernaum. Many of you have actually visited this house where Jesus lived much of his life. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Hey, we get that the kingdom's starting small. We get that because obviously this hasn't blown up yet, Jesus. We get the kingdom starting small, but explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Notice, as we say that the parables reveal truth to some and conceal it from others, just being a follower of Jesus didn't mean it was obvious to them. What made it clear to them was their relationship with the storyteller. What allowed them access to the revelation of the truth was them going to the storyteller himself and saying, tell me what this means. Are y'all doing that in your time with the Lord? You know you can when you read this book, not just read this book, but say, God, what are you saying? That's what they do with Jesus. Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Here's what he says. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Old Testament language that Jesus took on himself to say, I am the Messiah. The field is the world. Notice he says the world and not the church. I think many interpreters that I read this week about this were saying, hey, you're not supposed to pull the weeds out of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is clear that if there's blatant, overt sexual sin that's seen, you need to do something about it. This doesn't mean that if there's sin in the church, you don't do anything about it. Y'all with me? He says, the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The world, our neighbors, the nations, the next generation, the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. That, if you're a follower of Jesus, is you. The sower wants to throw you, he says, out into the world. And when that happens, the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Anybody want to bomb, bomb, bomb? Like, kids, if y'all read stories, right, every fairy tale has like the bad guy. This is the ultimate bad guy, the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. Last week, we were as a staff ministry team, ministers, were talking about discipleship in the church and what is it that God is leading and doing in and through our life groups and our discipleship groups and our children's ministry and our youth ministry and making goals moving forward. And at one point we said, hey, what's the 10-year dream for us? And that was 30, 31. And then they said, let's put 2030. Let's put 2030. So that's like 8.5 years. And we put it on the wall. It was like I broke down. And I thought, Jesus is coming back. The end of the age. Now, if anyone tells you they know the time, no one knows the time. But if you watch what's going on, like I was sitting there thinking, 2030 may not even happen. The harvest is the end of the age. Do y'all realize it's going to end? Sometimes when I'm here preaching, there's usually, and today it's not there, so it's abnormal for me, but there's this like countdown timer because someone around here goes long sometimes. I don't know who that is. But sometimes I look at that countdown timer and I think, what if that's the time we have before Jesus returns? What would you have me to say to your people? The end of the age is coming. And he's going to throw us out in the world? The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man, Jesus, will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all law breakers. This is going to be the ultimate cancel culture. It's coming. And throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Y'all know that there is a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. There's an end. And there's people in the world that are weeds, and they're going to burn. When hell is taught, some act like they know and understand what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be really bad. Three times in Matthew, when Jesus teaches on it, he doesn't compare it to a fiery furnace. He calls it outer darkness. That's coming. Where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you know that God loved the world enough to send his son to die on the cross for your sin, if you've heard that message, like Elena knows that message, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you believe that he saved you, he's changed you, guess what? The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You know, the end is coming. It's not all bad news. In fact, as we were teaching through the story of Joseph, what was the tension in me is I couldn't tell you that your story is going to end the way that Joseph's ends, because Joseph's story looks really good, right? But I can tell you, if you know and believe Jesus, your story will end beautifully. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, do you have ears? Anybody have ears? He who has ears, let him hear, Jesus says. It's one of the ways he ends his parables often. If you have ears, hear what I'm saying. So what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying? Back to the imperative in his parable. I'm going to go back there real quick. He says, let both grow together until the harvest. This was his command. Let both grow together until the harvest. Other words, one of the ways when I'm trying to understand what does God's word say, I try to say what the Bible just said, but use my own words to say the same thing. Allow the weeds to grow with the wheat. Why, Jesus? Wouldn't it make sense for us to pull ourselves out of culture? Wouldn't it make sense for us to cancel those that don't believe what we believe? Why? Why allow the weeds to grow with the wheat? Well, Jesus gives us two reasons. Here's the first, 28. So the servants said to him, then, do you want us to go and gather them, the weeds that are growing with the wheat? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat. In gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Why would Jesus tell us to allow the weeds to grow with the wheat? First, if we don't, we will harm some of the wheat. If we don't, we're going to harm some of the wheat. Now again, this is not saying that we're going to allow sin to continue in the church. This is the world. But it's saying when you go to the world, if you're going to try to just rip yourself out of, rip the world out, you know what's going to happen? If you try to rip people out of your life that you think because of outward, like what you think they are the enemy. I'm going to block them. You know what's going to happen if you do that? You're going to hurt some of the wheat. Now, I don't know that this man is wheat. But one of the famous stories is a story of Gandhi. He knew a missionary by the name of Stanley Jones. Stanley Jones told us that Gandhi told him a story at one point where he was studying and learning about Jesus. And he decided, I'm going to go visit a Christian church. Some of you all have heard this story. And you know what the church did? They canceled him, literally. They said, no, you can't come in. And Gandhi said, I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It is the many Christians who are unlike your Christ that I've pushed away. Hey, in our culture right now, Christians, I think there are many Christians that are canceling other Christians, and they don't know it. That they're so focused on, if you don't line up with me, you're out of my life. You know what Jesus said? He said, allow the weeds to grow with the wheat, because if you don't, you might root up some of the wheat. You with me? Allow the weeds to grow with the wheat. Why else? Here's the other reason he gives, and I believe this is how the other two parables connect. Why would we allow the weeds to grow with the wheat? It's because if we allow the weeds to grow with the wheat, guess what can happen supernaturally through Jesus? Through Jesus, the wheat can transform some of the weeds. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Leaven moves into wheat and transforms it. That a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. At the end of his explanation to his disciples of what the parable is all about, he quotes out of Daniel chapter 12, and I want to just show you Daniel chapter 12, 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Jesus quotes out of Daniel a passage that talks about the turning of people's hearts because there are people who are going to shine around them. Why would God not want to pull out the weeds from the wheat? Is because he wants the wheat to transform some of the weeds. And he wants that in your life. Do you know that? I want you to watch this real quick. This is one of the young men in our youth ministry. And I'm going to share with you a little story right after.
I didn't grow up in church at all. Like, I'd never gone to church, like, my entire life. And then I was kind of lonely and just, I was not very happy, sad person, kind of angry, you know, just. And then my grandpa died, and he was a very faithful man. And that made me just start questioning things, you know, and I started wondering about, like, Jesus, because, you know, he was always talking about Jesus. And I was like, man, I don't know anything about Jesus. And so I wanted to learn about that. So I picked up a Bible and I started reading. And it wasn't shortly after that I accepted Christ. And then, you know, just because, like, I never had gone to church, you know, I wasn't very vocal about it to my parents or anything. I was kind of nervous to, like, admit it. And so I kind of was almost like a closet Christian for a while. And then I met Wesley Wood, and she invited me to come to this church. And I'll be honest, it was a little nerve-wracking, you know, because I've never really been in a church before. So I was like, man, do I really belong here? I was like, it's kind of weird. And but after the service and after talking and meeting everybody, I was like, man, this feels like home. I met Grant, and I told him that I wanted to get baptized. And so he talked to me, and he baptized me here. D-Now weekend, actually.
Jared told me that he came to Disciple Now also, but about 6 or so months ago, lost his granddad, but it made him kind of go on a journey trying to figure out, because he knew his granddaddy was in heaven, and so he started reading his word and just understood that he needed God, so he trusted God at that point. Is that right?
Yes.
And then my question to you, buddy, is this. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because of that, I can baptize you as my brother in Christ. Okay, so I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to
walk. The youth staff here is great. Grayson, I love Grayson. We go to lunch together every week. So everybody here is just so kind and full of love, and it's a great area to be in. And I've grown more and more as I came to church because it just keeps reminding me of the way I need to live my life, and it makes me follow God even more, and I try to stick to the word as much as I possibly can. Keep attending church as much as you can every Wednesday. Try to make it. It'll help you grow your faith. It'll help you stay strong in God, and it'll help your life grow tremendously. My name is Garrett, and my life is forever changed because of Jesus.
Could you hear a story? I didn't have a church background. He was out in the world. His grandfather, Wesley Wood, others involved in his life, the weeds transformed. Got his life forever changed. And let me share, since that video we recorded several months ago, let me share with you something that's happened since then. He serves as a high schooler, as a mechanic at Toyota here in town. And he shared this with me. My coworker was having a terrible week. He wrecked his car and had a gang member that he didn't know show up at his house and tell him he owed him money. That's a bad week. I told him maybe God was trying to show him something. He said that, yeah, he had kind of wondered about that. So I set him down and explained the gospel to him. But he wasn't quite ready to make the commitment to follow Christ yet. Then I challenged him to read the book of Matthew. So he said he'd read it. Then a couple of days later, he asked me for a Bible. And I got him one, and he read for a couple of weeks. But he was quitting his job there, and on that last day, we had the conversation again, and he was ready. And we prayed the prayer together, and he's accepted Jesus into his heart. Why? Why do we allow the weeds to grow with the wheat? Hey, well, one, we were all weeds, right? I'm a weed that Jesus transformed. Don't cancel the weeds. Now, in your effort to reach the world, don't fall in. But Jesus prayed in John 17 for his followers to be in the world, not of the world, but sent to the world. As I pray over our church family, I pray the blessing prayer that I pray over you all each Sunday, a lot during the week over you. But the other prayer that I pray over you in church family, okay, as I speak to you, he wants you to infect the lives of people around you. Don't push them away, okay? But as I pray over you, the prayer that I pray over you outside of the blessing prayer over and over and over again is this, that God would remind you wherever you're sitting, wherever you are in your homes, in your workplace, at the school, wherever you are, I pray, God, remind them today how much you love them through Jesus. And then send them into the circle of influence that they have to remind those around them and to tell others around them how much God loves them through Jesus. Pray with me, God. I pray in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit that before you come back, that you would, through the wheat in our church, transform the weeds around us. God, we know at the end that it's bad news for people who don't know you, and it's great news for people who do. God, help us to love people enough to not cancel them, but to run to them, to show them what you have done. God, through our church, may we be leaven in the loaf of Collin County, transforming Collin County for your glory. In Jesus' name.